everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio on the other side of the glass today, engineering and producing our program on this Friday, April the 20th, 2018. We are re-airing our programs on Friday. We do the re-air at 7 o'clock Saturday morning, so you'll get another chance to hear our program. We are live during the week, Monday through Friday, of course, at KVOI AM 1030. During the noon hour, and of course we have our live streaming, that's the worldwide live listening, over the internet at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. That is also the place for all of our podcasts and archive of programs now, hundreds of programs that date back all the way back to the first week of 2011. So I've got you covered there. Friday, we like to do a shout out to some of our media partners, folks who support us by prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show Live logo. And we want to thank TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun. Dan Shear is the editor of those two fine publications. Dan, am I getting better with the pronunciation of Sahorita?
You only could have gotten better.
Oh, there you go. So. All right. The Three Sonorans supports us, the Tucson Media Group. This is a large group of publications. Tucson Weekly is in their portfolio, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Also, some of our sponsors also prominently display the Buckmaster Show logo, including Green Things. Our Friday Focus interview, Calvin Baker is with us. Mr. Baker, superintendent of the Vail School District. Superintendent Baker, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
It's very serendipitous to have you in today because of the big news about the teachers' strike. And Dan, by the way, thank you for coming in and welcome to the program. Could you tell us what the contingency plan is for the Vail School District on Thursday, if indeed there is the walkout?
Well, this is a somewhat fluid situation. Things are happening every day and developing every day. But based on the information that we have now, we're confident that we can have schools open on Thursday and we will be able to provide a safe place for students.
Do you have any idea what it will take in each of those schools? I mean, if you had 50% of your teachers, does that make it doable in each of your schools? So is there some kind of a magic percentage?
No, there isn't a magic percentage for each school because it's very dependent on what's happening at schools across the district. We do have a significant number of non-teaching staff that we can put into classrooms. So if one school is above 50%, if it's just one school, we can take care of that. If it's large numbers of schools, then that's a different scenario, but we don't expect that at this point.
And you have, I assume, sympathy for the teachers and their message, basically.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no question that, and we've been saying this for years, that education is underfunded in Arizona and that teacher salaries in particular are too low. We've been one of the loud voices about the difficulty of competing with private industry and in particular neighboring states in terms of attracting and retaining teachers. So yes, we're very supportive of the message and our staff who've been participating in that effort.
Dan?
But are you supportive of the idea of a walkout?
We cannot be supportive of the idea of a walkout. Parents expect to drop their children off at school and for us to take care of them. That's a pretty strong social contract that we have with our community. And we have employees who we expect them to show up to work, and we expect the teachers who signed a contract to honor that contract.
So what's a better way to have handled this if you're a teacher and you've been watching this go on for years and years?
I believe that what the teachers and others involved in this movement have done with social media and with the walk-ins and with the displays along major roadways has been highly effective. And it was those efforts that brought the proposal from the governor. And I think continuing what they are doing is the best way forward.
Did you take a look at the proposal? What did you make of it?
Yes, I took a very good look at it, and we participated in meetings with the governor. I did, and also Wednesday we had two of our staff members who've been active in Red for Ed, who were part of a group of teachers who met with the governor. You know, I understand there's questions and there's concerns with the plan, and I don't discount those, but I've been an administrator in Arizona for over 30 years, and this is by far the richest proposed injection of cash into our system that I've ever seen. And the significant characteristic of the proposal is not only is it giving a lot of money to school districts and charter schools for teacher salary increases, but it is leaving untouched the capital money that the governor agreed to provide in January, and it is leaving untouched the inflationary dollars that we were receiving. So there's basically three streams of money coming into school districts under the plan that would, like I said before, just be a really significant increase in funding for our school districts.
Right, but there's been a river of money over the last 10 years going away from schools to the tune of about $1 billion. I know the Sahuarita district estimates in the last 10 years they've been cut about $20 million. What about your district? Do you know?
No, I don't. I can't pull that number up off the top of my head. The most significant issue has been, one of the really significant issues has been our lack of capital funding. And we're currently at 13% of what the formula calls for. So we were thrilled in January when we got a commitment from the governor that would be restored, with 27% of it being restored next year, which is over $1 million for us. Desperately needed money.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation, if you have any questions for Calvin Baker, superintendent of the Vail School District, the highly acclaimed Vail School District. Now, there are so many unknowns about, Dan and Mr. Baker, there were so many unknowns about 78% of those that voted, and I think the vote was, I think, like 50-some thousand teachers voted. But as we were talking before the program, Cal, that you're not even sure how many teachers and classified do you have in your portfolio in Vail?
Our total staff in Vail is right around 1,900 people.
Now, you don't know how many were even voting in this from your district.
No. I know for sure that there were three schools that did not submit any votes at all. And a lot of our staff members who are not in teaching, for example, I'm quite confident none of our bus drivers participated. The level of participation was dependent upon the school and whoever was at that school collecting those votes.
And there's also confusion, Dan, about whether this is a Arizona Education Association sanctioned event. It's not. It's really a coalition of different groups. Is that what your understanding is?
It's a grassroots organization that just kind of swelled up. And as Mr. Baker was saying, the teachers kind of got tired of it, quite honestly, and decided to move on this. But obviously, the Arizona Education Association is backing it. That's where the announcement was last night out of Phoenix. I want to go back to my other question, though. Mm-hmm. So what should they have done rather than strike? What else is going to get the attention of the state to the point that they're actually going to make a change?
There's no question they have the attention of the state. There's no question that they have the attention of legislators and the governor.
But it took this to do that, and you're opposed to this. I'm asking you, what could they have done instead of this to exact some change?
Okay, let's make sure we know what this is. I'm very strongly supportive of the call to action, the publicity that's been generated, the engagement. I think the engagement has been very, very healthy. We are a right-to-work state. Strike is not a viable option. It's not.
But what is? That's my question. Right. Is what options did they have?
The very best option that all of us have is to elect people for office and send the message loud and clear that you better have a pro-education platform if you want to get elected. The unfortunate reality is that we. Speaking to people in Arizona, we've elected a lot of people on the platform that taxes absolutely will not go up, and the reality is that schools run on taxes.
Mm-hmm. 12, excuse me, Mr. Baker, we're going to have to take a break right here at 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Sheldon, I have your question in front of me. In fact, rather than put you on the air, I'll see if we can get it answered real quickly for you before we take the break. What about federal intervention in a strike? Dan or Mr. Baker, does that seem really... Out of the question.
We didn't see it in the other states, and I don't think that's
anything going to happen. You didn't see that in West Virginia. So. You didn't see Oklahoma. That in Oklahoma. So right. Why would it happen in Arizona, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
All right. We'll take our break right here. Before we take the break and hear our recorded message from support for the Buckmaster Show, Mona's Danish Bakery is our newest partner on the program, home of the Danish Kringle, located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do just a lovely job. They're up very early in the morning doing the baking, so the bread that you will have on your sandwich this lunch hour pretty much came out of the oven just a few hours ago and is very fresh. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There is a link to all of our partners on this program, including Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash. Also, the Tucson Museum of Art gets a major donation. We'll tell you about that. And Justice of the Peace Ray Carroll will join us, Buckmaster, during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition on this April the 20th. Calvin Baker is superintendent of the highly acclaimed Vail School District, and Dan Shear is here from the highly acclaimed Green
we
Valley
like to think
News
so.
And Sahuarita Sun.
Thank you.
As far as teacher pay, is your district, do you feel competitive in what the salaries you're paying in Vail?
We're competitive locally.
Locally,
we are
but not like Chandler,
not
which pays like $56,000.
They're not our neighbor.
No, they are not your neighbor.
Right.
But locally, do you think the salaries are where they should be in Vail for our region?
Well, I certainly don't think they are where they should be, but we are able to. We don't have any more difficulty than other local districts at attracting teachers. Our numbers on many of the displays show a little bit lower, but that's in large part because we have put a lot of money into providing teachers with opportunities to have some control over their income rather than to be only stuck with the schedule. So the average teacher in Vail earns $6,900 beyond their contract by doing additional work or taking on additional leadership responsibilities.
Would that be like after school programs?
That would be tutoring, department leadership, mentoring and coaching other teachers, doing clubs, doing additional teaching duties, teaching kids during our intersession when we have breaks during the middle of the year.
Dan, I think that one of the complaints from the teachers, first of all, they don't think the governor's program that he's talking about is sustainable.
Right.
They're also talking about the administration costs versus what teachers are getting.
Well, that has been part of the public conversation, and it always has been, and it seems to be one of those defaults. And the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting just did a story that came out this morning that addresses that and says there's really no correlation between administrator salaries and what a teacher is being paid in a district, and they make a very, very good argument. It's worth reading on their website. So I think that one really is just this default for people who don't understand how schools are funded, which, by the way, is extraordinarily complex. Mm-hmm. Lots of different money. One of our first questions to our teachers was, is this a district issue or is this a state issue?
Right.
You know, and for instance, our district, Sarita, just gave the teachers a 4% raise. When is the last time your teachers received a raise, Dr. Baker, and how much was that?
We gave teachers a raise last year, and I don't have the specific number in my head because we increased their base salary, but then there was also several one-time stipends. For example, the governor's 1%, we did not put it into their base. We paid it as an additional stipend. But when you took the increases to the base and the stipends, the average teacher in Vail earned over 6% more than they did the year before.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan.
So we hear often that teachers want and parents want more money going into the classroom. What exactly do you think that means?
Oh, I think usually the default on that is that we're paying administrators too much and there's too many administrators. The bigger picture on that is that, especially with the huge reduction in capital money that we've been operating under, we have not been able to refresh our computers for our students, and we have not been able to repair desks. We have just our bathrooms are suffering, and we just haven't been able to do good, solid, regular maintenance with our instructional materials and our facilities.
Well, let's go back about 30 years. So let's go back to, you know, mid-80s or thereabouts. What positions are you required to have in a school district today that we were not required to have 30 years ago? And I'm talking maybe psychologists or what type of staff, support staff or administrators do you have to have today that you didn't have before?
Well, the obvious one is technology. We've seen big... But that's helped us also because
sure.
we used to spend in 2008, we were spending $500,000 a year on textbooks. And now we have twice as many students and we're spending about $20,000 a year on textbooks. So technology has been at the end of the day, probably a saving, likely a savings. The largest increase has just been in satisfying all the reporting regulations, and we are also spending far more money on special education today than we were before. It's just expensive. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful. I mean, I love our. We have a fantastic special ed program. We've been hit really hard on the minimum wage issue because we have so many paraprofessionals who are working with one or two or three students because that's the level of involvement they're at, and it's a very, very noble thing, but it's a very expensive thing.
I had a story in my education file, really, that's just begging to talk to get a response from you. This came out a couple of months ago about Vail School District considering putting up what I guess you would call kind of tiny homes mm-hmm. for teachers who have difficulty, in many cases, meeting the payments on a house. So is that plan moving forward, 20 to 24 tiny homes?
It is. We are. We hope to have our first one in about a month. And we will proceed with that as depending on what the response is. Fundamentally, we're working on a teacher recruitment issue, and there's very little housing available in Vail except for large family homes. Mm-hmm. And I know, think most of us started out small, whether it was an apartment or some other.
I know I did. We had no furniture, basically. Our dining room table was one of those spools that they used. I don't know if they even still use them for electrical spools.
Sure.
We had our first Thanksgiving.
We have land that we can't use for schools. We've got water for free. We've got sewer for free, and we have internet for free. So we can do this cheaper than private industry. This is one instance when government can actually do it cheaper, and we can give starting teachers, if they choose it, housing at a low cost
in one area, like mm-hmm. a little housing village, teacher village.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
Very cool. All right, Calvin Baker, we will see how it all shakes out with the proposed teacher strike Thursday. We'll wish you good luck.
Well, thank you very much.
Forward. Cal Baker, thank you very much. All right, Dan will stick around, Dan Scheer, and then we have Jim Nintzel's going to put in his, I almost said 2 cents, but he's got more on his mind than his 2 cents. Jim Nintzel will be on the live line in a few minutes, but right now let's take the mid-show break here on Buckmaster. We'll be right back with the roundtable.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Friday roundtable portion of the Buckmaster Show. Jim Ninsel now joins us, editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you? How was your week?
Oh, a little bout of food poisoning. I don't want to get into the details, but it wasn't one of my best, I will say that.
Ouch. Well, we've all
thanks for asking.
Well, we all have issues, that's for sure, and we do appreciate and hope you're feeling a little better. Here's the deal with the teachers. Strike that is now planned for Thursday, as far as I'm concerned. And I said this on the show yesterday, Jim and Dan Scheer with us from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. The Red for Ed has generated a tremendous amount of goodwill and brought a lot of attention to teachers' issues in Arizona. As I said yesterday on the show, I believe that now with the strike, that goodwill will be substantially eroded. Gentlemen, would you like to weigh in on that? Jim?
That's really the question of the hour, right? Are they going too far with the walkout, or are people going to support them? And clearly, the public's on the side of the educators at this point, as you pointed out. You wouldn't see Governor Ducey moving from being fairly contemptuous of the movement to saying that he was going to at least meet their demand of a 20% raise. I can't say I blame teachers for being skeptical of this, especially since they're also concerned about more than just their own salaries. They're concerned about the support staff. They're concerned about the building conditions. They're concerned about the materials that they have to use and how much they have to shell out of their own pocket in order to make sure their students have pencils and paper and the very basics of education. So, you know, I think the question you raise there is the one that will pretty well decide, you know, which direction this goes from here. And I think it puts a lot of pressure at this point on the governor and the legislature to come up with some sort of plan before next week.
What do you think, Dan?
I've been to 2 or 3 rallies. I went to a teachers' meeting the other day, and I will tell you that at the forefront of the conversation is, are the kids going to be okay? Are the families going to be prepared to take care of their children if we go out on a strike? And so I really admire and laud the teachers for that, because they are genuinely concerned about these kids. Others would say, however, but a little bit of pain is going to bring a long-term gain, and it's worth it. But the question, as Jim said, was always, if a strike is announced, are the parents going to feel like they're on board with the educators? Yeah, let's do this. Or are they going to feel victimized? And I will tell you that this thing was pretty quick, because they made the announcement last night of what the vote was, which did not surprise me. But we were told that then they were going to do several days of trying to build community, gauge community,
yes,
support. And I'm surprised that it wasn't going to last a little bit longer. I'm surprised that the strike would happen this soon.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I'm surprised it's happening at all, Bill, because I think we talked about this a few weeks ago on your show, and it just seemed inconceivable to me that this would be going on in Arizona.
Yeah, it's Arizona, after all.
Right, yeah. Right.
But strike really, in Arizona, normally those two words don't go together.
Yes, and I was reading on Capital Times today a piece that suggested that it's illegal for the teachers to go out and strike, according to the Attorney General's office. So that's another wrinkle that lies ahead.
Go ahead.
I think we were almost getting to it with Dr. Baker, and we didn't get quite to it. But to me, the question is, he talked about recruiting, and my question would be, is it tougher to get teachers to come to your district to take a job, or is it tougher to get kids to go in and study education in college? And I think both of those questions surround what they're being paid. And so I have a son who has just finished U of A now, about to start a master's program, wants to be a high school teacher. In the back of his mind, he's thinking, boy, what am I going to be making? Am I going to be able to support a family on this? And that has got to be in the back of the mind of everybody who is going into this field. I have a daughter who's a second grade teacher. So this is a big question for these people. But now the question is, gosh, there's fewer and fewer of them to recruit from, and a lot of them are indeed leaving the state.
And getting back to the 78%, Calvin Baker, who was our guest here in the first half hour, indicated that at least three schools in Vail, the teachers didn't even vote. So this is going to be a case by a district by district, school by school. It's my belief how it will shake down. You may see some of the rural areas where no teachers walk out.
Right. I spoke this morning to Roxana Rico. She heads up the one school district, Continental. They are on spring break right now, oddly enough, and so she has no idea. But I think that she suspects that she has a very divided group of teachers there. They have 47 of them, and she doesn't know how many would walk. But I think that she believes that it would not be a whole lot. Sarita might be different. It's been pretty strong up there, and they may see more of it, and they may end up having to close.
But they were going to try to stay open, just like Cal
Correct.
Baker indicated with Vail. They're going to try to keep things going. We had Gabriel Trujillo of TUSD on the show Wednesday. He said only essential services. That will be their goal. But again, they've got 89 schools in the portfolio in TUSD. You can't really predict how it's going to go district-wide. No. Jim, would you agree with that?
Yeah, and it's just obviously a huge challenge for parents when you have single-parent households or two parents working and you depend on the schools to take care of your kids so that you can go and earn a paycheck. That's a whole other bit of pressure that parents will be facing as a result of this.
All right, do you have another comment? Okay, I want to switch gears here. We've got, what is it, CD8, the special election. Is that this week, coming up the next week, Jim?
Yeah, Tuesday. We'll see that. That's up in Maricopa County. Debbie Lesko, a former state lawmaker in that race against a Democrat nobody had really heard of, and yet this race really sounds like it is tightening up considerably. And it's fascinating to see. We've seen these shifts elsewhere in the country where you have seen races where margins were huge in the past, and then Democrats are either winning these races or they are managing to come much closer than they ever have in the past. So this is, I think, when you look at the early voting numbers, it's probably unlikely that Debbie Lesko is going to lose to Haral Tipernini. But nonetheless, if it's a very close race, I think that shows that things are shifting significantly on the political scene in Arizona.
In the CD2 race, the money, who's spending what on their campaigns. Somewhat surprising that Dr. Matt Hines is spending a lot of his own money. Is that correct, Jim?
Yeah, he put in $250,000 of his own money. Did not show a very good fundraising effort in this last quarter, and has said that's because he wanted to focus on reaching out to voters rather than calling donors. But I think it also suggests that he's not doing very well with that fundraising. And Ann Kirkpatrick is obviously leading the way with her connections and has raised a whole lot more money than anybody else in that race.
Dan, what do you make of some of these numbers?
I think Matt Hines has forgotten how badly he was beaten by Martha McSally a couple of years ago. And I think Jim's exactly right that the support may not be there. But we'll see. It's still somewhat early, although these numbers of money that they're raising means more to me than poll numbers at this point.
And on the Republican side, not a big surprise that Leah Marquez Peterson, the Republican who hopes to emerge from the primary there, is doing very well, actually, with fundraising. Is that correct, Jim?
Yeah, she's certainly the favorite in this race. The other candidates have very little name ID. Leah has a lot of name ID from her work with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, as well as good connections within the business community and back in Washington D.C. And she's probably without a doubt the favorite to come out of that race. The challenge for her again is what is the national mood going to be in November? And you're looking at a district that, as we've said many times, split evenly pretty much between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. Those kinds of districts look like they are going blue this year, but a lot can change between now and November.
ABC Channel 15 in Phoenix has a poll out on the U.S. Senate race, and Representative Martha McSally actually running in second place in the primary, and actually would be in the general as well, would have issues. So the leader there, according to that poll, is Dr. Kelly Ward. Was that surprising, Dan?
I think it was very surprising. And again, I don't put a lot of stock in early poll numbers, but I was surprised. We know that Kelly Ward has a certain type of supporter. They're very committed to her, and she's been in this game for quite a while in this race. So this was a little bit of a surprise, yeah.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, there was another poll out this week by Magellan Strategies that showed McSally with 36%. Support and Arpaio at 26% and Kelly Ward at 25%. So I think I'm not sure we can trust, as Dan says, you can't put too much faith in some of these polls. I don't know exactly the methodology that was being used in either one, actually. So
It's the time of year I think you can pick your poll so early.
right. And again, methodology makes a big difference in a lot of these surveys.
Jim, you mentioned earlier that come November, what's the national mood? That could have an effect on some races. Are we talking about Donald Trump, or what do you think? And what impact will he have specifically on Arizona races?
Well, you look around the country and you just see these dramatic shifts where as I said earlier, you have these races that are in deep red territory where Democrats are either coming very close or actually prevailing. The fact that Roy Moore lost in Alabama, now he was a singularly flawed candidate, but there are other examples out there, and so if what you're seeing there continues, then I think this is not an isolated thing. I think this is something that's going on across the country, and I don't think Arizona would be any different. The interesting thing will I think also be what happens in a lot of the state races. The race for governor or attorney general, are these suddenly going to become competitive races? And I think clearly Doug Ducey is aware that there's some danger to him, or again, he wouldn't have folded on this education thing, or at least given in to some of the demand.
Dan, a big story in your neck of the woods. Pima County voted, the vote was 4-1. Allie Miller voting, Supervisor Miller voting against the former Kanoa Hills area. That development now is going to be a county park.
Right. It was a golf course. It closed in 2013. It was purchased in 2014 by somebody who realized he was simply never going to reopen it as a golf course, and had been trying to sell it, and it wasn't going anywhere. And he offered it to the county, a 130-acre golf course. And so we've been debating this down in Green Valley for about 10 months, and it is going to be a very different public park. It's going to be walking paths, a couple of benches, things like that. That's it. We're not talking swing sets. We don't do swing sets in Green Valley. We don't even.
Oh, what about when the grandkids come to town?
No, keep it inside.
Okay. All right.
So no Ramadas. And in fact, the people even had to fight for restrooms, which is what they really did want.
But do they seem supportive of this? Are Green Valley residents happy about it?
Very supportive. And I have to say that the county and local groups in Green Valley, including the Green Valley Council, went out, talked to everybody, put together a great task force that came up with a wonderful report, and overwhelmingly favor it. It's not going to cost too much. And frankly, we do not have public parks down there. And so if we could be so bold as to say the county owed it to us, so they did the right thing.
So. I don't disagree with that at all. And I think, Dan, a few a while back wrote a column suggesting that Supervisor Miller was not being entirely honest with some of the statistics that she had cooked up to oppose this plan, and I don't think that's unusual. I was more amused by her challenge to Chuck Huckleberry, saying that if he resigned, yeah, then she would support a half-cent sales tax for transportation, which I thought was hysterical.
That was one of the best things I've read in a long time, and it was she's just certainly interesting. At first, I thought she was ignorant about the facts of the golf course. She thought they're going to refurbish it and then reopen it as a golf course. We don't need a golf course. That's why it closed. And then she started throwing out things out there, and then I realized at some point, and I'm just going to put it out there, Bill, she started lying flat out about it, and she knew she was lying. And that was very frustrating to a lot of people in Green Valley who are trying to get to the truth of what's this going to cost us. And we know that a free golf course turned into a park is not free. We want to know what it's going to cost. And it took us a long time, but she was very much confusing the issue. And quite frankly, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. So
I think that's standard operating procedure a lot of time with the District 1 supervisor.
All right, Jim Nintzel, thank you very much for being on the program today. And Jim, what's your cover story at the Weekly this week?
Oh, we've got the big 420 issue, Bill. It's the big marijuana celebration of today. Happy 420, everyone. Mm. So we have a look at what's going on in a lot of the dispensaries around town.
Wow, it's really, really smoking issue that you got there, Jim. Really, really, really on top of it.
Ooh.
Hey, Jim,
it's creating quite a buzz, Bill.
There you go. Have a great weekend, Jim.
And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And Dan, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Join the Tucson Cactus and Succulent Society on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th at Hotel Tucson City Center at 475 North Granada. Enjoy the plant show and check out the plants, pottery, books, and art for sale from dozens of vendors, as well as locally rescued saguaro, beryl, mamayadia, and hedgehog cactus and ocotillos. For information about workshops on container gardening, landscaping tips, cooking with cactus, and other unique topics, go to tucsoncactus.org. That's tucsoncactus.org.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe, check out our giant cat habitats, or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great weekend getaway. It's just a three-hour drive to Silver City. Perfect time of year over there. 15 degrees cooler than Tucson, I'll tell you that. With that elevation, visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the very fine places to stay in Silver City. And there are a bunch of recreation opportunities for you, all listed on the website in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. How are you today, sir?
I am doing great. How about you, Bill?
Doing very well. Another show, another opening. Weekend Watch seems to be your home of the restaurant openings.
That's right. Another new restaurant opening. This one, Bill, is a burger and fish place called Besties.
Now, what was that? Tucson, what was that? Besties.
It's called Besties.
Okay.
Yeah. And
it's
Tucson's first destination for steamed burgers. Now, steaming burgers started out as a thing in the 1930s back in Connecticut, eventually making its way out west. And fans of this technique claim that it's much better than grilling or frying. So I'm really eager to try one of these. Now, along with a lineup of steamers, as they call them, you can also catch some great fried cod, some great roast beef sandwiches, shrimp, hush puppies, the work. It's called Besties, and it's now open at 14 West Grant Road.
Chili cook-off time?
Yes, we are deep in the heart of that season, and this weekend is going to bring you one of the best at Keith Joshua Vineyards in Elgin. It's a two-day chili cook-off with live music and wine tastings, and this year they're going to be adding kind of a fun new element to the mix. Four area vintners, they're going to be competing in a faux episode of the Food Network hit show Chopped on Saturday to see if their culinary skills are impressive as their wine-making skills. And I'm going to be one of the judges.
Yeah,
all kinds of food and wine fun at Keith Joshua Vineyard.
Yeah, that's what I saw on Facebook, that you would have a real involvement in that. That's going to be a fun weekend for you.
Can't wait.
How about the pig in a pint?
Yeah, another fun event tomorrow. It's the first annual Pig and Pint, where a beautiful honey and whiskey roasted pig will make an appearance at noon at Hamilton Distillers over there on Forbes Avenue. The Oinker will be accompanied by local beers from 1912 Brewing Company and whiskey from Hamilton. Your $30 ticket includes a delicious pig platter with some tasty sides, one of those cold beers, and a local shot of whiskey Del Bac. Now, partial proceeds help support the CMB Foundation, which is a charity that raises awareness about domestic violence. I say let the oinking commence for Pig in a Pint tomorrow, Bill.
On that note, have a great weekend with your activities. I know it'll be a good one.
Cheers. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. We like to do a big shout out on Friday to all of the wonderful people here at KVOI who support the Buckmaster Show. And right at the top of the list today, anyway, I'm looking right at him, Bob Dio. Thank you, Bob, for all of your support, engineering and producing today. Of course, Ray Allen, our operations manager, also my engineer producer most of the time. And we have our funny man. He's the best production guy around, Jerry Cross. Jerry doing a great job. All of the ladies in the front office, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this locally operated and owned Tucson station, all of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.